All right, this morning if we can turn in our Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Once again, if you're visiting with us today, we do give you a warm welcome. May the Lord bless you. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and I want to read 1 through 17. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1 through 17. Verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the public reading of your word today. As always, it's a privilege. May we never forget that. And Lord, in that sense, we're on holy ground. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning through your word. And Lord, may your will be accomplished. And we give you thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. What we've read there, of course, is what we commonly call the Ten Commandments. I find it interesting at times talking to people about the Lord and about their need of salvation. And they'll often say, well, I just live by the commandments. The fascinating thing is when you ask them what they are, they can't tell you. Or they might go, well, you shouldn't kill. Yeah, that's good. Any others? Shouldn't steal? Yeah, good. That's two. There's still eight to go. Amazing, isn't it, how people so deceive them. So I just live by the Ten Commandments and they can't even tell you what they are. That's by the by, isn't it? But those Ten Commandments are also amazing, that in Ten Commandments God can wrap up for us everything that's needful for life and eternity, really. And yet today we have tens of thousands of laws and statutes on the books and we've got no idea what most of them are and never keep most of them either. It's just a mess. But God says, I can do it all in Ten Commandments. In fact, the Lord Jesus, when he was asked what is the great commandment, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul and strength. And he said, the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbour as yourself. And in these two commandments, you fulfil all the commandments. So he even compressed it even more to say that here's two, love God and love others and you'll take care of everything. And then here we find that expanded a little bit. What is it to love God? Well, it's to have no other gods before him. Well, it's to have no graven images. Well, it's to not bow down and serve them. God's a jealous God. It's to set aside a day which is a day of holiness and set apart for the Lord. And it's interesting, isn't it? You know, we won't go into all the debates about should we meet on the Sabbath or not, but the Bible is clear that the Sabbath was a day which was set aside for the nation of Israel. It's an everlasting covenant we find later in Exodus. But nevertheless, the principle remains. Work 6 days and rest one, because that's what God did in the beginning. And so if we rest on one day, work six, then we're reflecting the truth about creation to those around us. But today our world has gone down the gurgler, and we don't worry about that anymore, and sadly many Christians don't either. But I can remember the day, and I'm old enough now to remember on Sundays, no shops open, no sport, nothing happened on Sunday except you went to church or Sunday school or you stayed home with your family. That was about it. And now, open slather for anybody and everybody. So again, we see how far we've moved away from God's plan for us. He says, honour thy father and thy mother. He says, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, and then don't covet. But this morning I want us to pick up on verse 12, honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In other words, today it's recognised as Mother's Day. I'm not sure what that means to a lot of people, but it's a day we call Mother's Day. And the Bible's clear, honour thy father and thy mother. Mothers are to be honoured. And in today's world, as you and I know, the family is in the last stages, I think, of being destroyed in this land. If the elections go the way that some people would like them to go, we might see the final nail in the coffin for families and many, many biblical principles. And I don't think families have been more battered than they are today in this land. Not only in this land, of course, in other Western countries as well. Because why? The devil hates the family. You say, why do you say that? Because that was God's initial plan, wasn't it? He started with the family, with Adam and Eve and having children. But that was God's plan for man. That expanded out until there was the governments brought in, and then today we have the church, of course. But God's original plan was the family. And so what's the devil going to do? He's going to do everything he can to destroy that, obviously. Because he hates God, he hates the people of God, and he wants to bring to a destruction. The Lord Jesus said that Satan didn't only come to kill, he came to destroy. And he's done a wonderful job so far. It's interesting, I just quote this, one popular speaker says that he looks for a world, and this is a fellow in a secular college, he looks for a world where there'll be no schools, no families, and no parent-child relationships. He says, quote, to free the child, we must do away with parenthood and marriage. We must settle for nothing less than the total elimination of the family. Imagine that. Imagine that. And we go, no way. This man is, that's what he's holding to. Incredible, isn't it? And it's not overstating the fact to say that the family is in desperate trouble today. Now, God knows that, and he's allowed those things. Part of the problem is that God's people haven't been what they should have been. They haven't been the salt they should have been, and therefore they haven't preserved these biblical truths in our nation today. Compare this with what Theodore Roosevelt said many years ago. He said this, when all is said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realise it, a more honourable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. Imagine that. And I'd say amen to that, amen. But we've come a long way since he made that sort of a statement. A long way. Not good, down. And so this morning I want us to be thinking about that God's plan. In this case we're looking particularly at mothers, and I guess because it's Mother's Day. But we notice here back again in Exodus, honour thy father and thy mother. Now we're going to leave fathers out of it for the moment, not because they shouldn't be honoured, but because we want to focus on mothers. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul picks up on this passage in Exodus. In Ephesians chapter 6, and notice what he says. Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 1, he starts out with saying this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice what he says in verse 2. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This is to children, remember. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And so God's quite clear in his word that mothers are to be honoured by their children. Amen? Very clear about that. You say, what does it mean to honour them? Well, here's some thoughts about that. To honour means to revere them. It means to regard with respect and affection. We're to respect our mothers. We're to show affection to them. We are to treat them with deference. In other words, yielding our own opinions. There's to be some submission. It's to perform duties that our mothers want us to do. I know we've got to keep it in the context of whether we're young and older and everything else. But nevertheless, the Bible is clear. We are to honour mothers. We are to give regard with respect and affection and show respect to them and acknowledge them, that they are a very important part of God's plan for mankind. Amen. I mean, without mothers, there's no mankind anyway. It makes them a fairly integral part of God's plan. But as children, how can we do that? Well, one way we find there in verse 1, don't we? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, children, if you want to honour your parents, then you need to obey them. You need to do what they tell you to do, amen? That's what obedience is about. It's doing what your parents, and in this case, in the context, what mothers are telling you and teaching you to do. That's what God says here. So if I'm a child and I'm not sure about what the word honour means, then obey your parents. That will be honouring to your mother. That will give honour to her. The Bible says it'll be a blessing for those who do, that it may be well with thee. Verse 3, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Remember what he said in Exodus. There's a blessing for those who do that. But one way, again, is to obey your parents. And children, to obey them means you do it straight away. When mum asks you to do something, do it. Yeah, but I'm busy. If you're going to honour your mother, then you are to obey her, and it's to be first-time obedience. It's not, well, you know, I'm a bit busy playing with my toys now. Stop playing with your toys and do what mum asks you to do. So you do it straight away, amen? And not only that, you do it with a good attitude. Not, all right. No. Should be the good, yes, mum. Yes, mum. Yes, mum. Do it with a good attitude, amen? You see, because if you can't do that with mum, you won't be able to do it with God either. Because 1 John talks about it, doesn't he? He says, you know, if you say you love your brother and you say you love God but you hate your brother, he said, come on. He said, if you don't love your brother who you see, how can you say you love God who you can't see? You see the picture there? If you can't obey your parents, and remember the parents are ordained of God, they're God's authority, and so if you disobey your parents, you're disobeying God. Amen? And so how does God want us to obey him? Well, first time. When he speaks to us, he expects us to obey him first time, and expects us to do it straight away, not, you know, 1 month later. And he expects us to do what? With a good attitude. Yes, Lord. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Amen? That's how it ought to be. And so, children, remember that. You say, how do I honour my mother? By being obedient in a godly way. And I know sometimes that can be difficult, and, you know, we get all grumpy and everything else, but that doesn't matter. The fact remains. To honour your mother, you must be obedient to her. If you'll do that, God will bless you. That's the promise, isn't it? That it may be well with thee. You'll have God's blessing in your life. And you'll generally speaking, live a long life. It's important that we acknowledge that and understand that, again, in today's world where we've got same-sex marriage, we've got all sorts of things, and we live in a day and age, as I've already said, where it's a mess. And sadly, some of us have been part of that mess. Our families have been messed up, and we've had all sorts of struggles and problems and difficulties, and we can't change that, and we'd love to if we could, but we can't. But we still have the responsibility to encourage those who are in a position to still have a godly family, to encourage them to make sure that they follow these principles, encourage them with their children and their families to live a way that's godly and pleasing and honouring to the Lord, so that people looking on can go, wow, that's amazing. In today's world, that's amazing. You know, what someone once said, the light shines furthest when it's darkest. What an opportunity we have to show to the world what a family ought to be. Amen. And part of that is honouring mothers. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We notice something here when Paul's writing to Timothy. Notice what he says in verse 5. As he writes to Timothy, he says this, verse 5 in chapter 1, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. The point I want to make here is that Timothy came from a godly line. His grandmother and his mother were godly. They had an unfeigned faith. Now, if a lady's going to be all that God wants her to be as a mother, then she has to be saved, amen? Because otherwise she won't have the abilities that only God can give to be the mother that God wants her to be. And none of us can fulfill what God wants us to be until we're saved, because only the Spirit of God who enables us to live the Christian life, as we call it. We can't do it. It's so contrary to human thinking and human reasoning. We need to, first of all, be saved, have what he calls here an unfeigned faith, and then be filled with the Spirit of God. That was all part of Ephesians there, being filled with the Spirit. But unfeigned means without hypocrisy. It means that'll stand the trial. It means it's sincere. It means it's genuine faith. We're not talking, you know, religion now. It's not a counterfeit. And how many people today are religious, but they're not saved? And they're a counterfeit. And that applies not just to mothers, but that applies to all of us, doesn't it? Our faith ought to be an unfeigned faith. People ought to be able to look at us and say, there's no doubt they're Christians. We're not saying they should look at us and say they're perfect, because that's not going to happen. But they should be able to look at us and say, that person's a Christian. They have an unfeigned faith. It's real. They're not hypocrites. And when you test them out, yeah, it stands the test in that sense. And so it is, if mothers to be what they ought to be, then they must have that unfeigned faith. They must trust the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. We notice something else, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Something of how important the influence of a mother can be. We've already seen there in that verse, chapter 1, verse 5, about his mother's unfeigned faith. But notice what it says there in verse 15, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Remember, he's talking now to Timothy, and Timothy didn't have the New Testament. He had the Old Testament. His family had the Old Testament. But I believe one of the important factors in his salvation, and we know his mother had an unfeigned faith, was the fact that she also taught him the scriptures. Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. One of the responsibilities of a mother is to make sure that their children know the word of God well. Amen? It's important that we do that. It's not enough, you know, we'll just pray for them. No, we have to do our part in that. You have a look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, back in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's a challenging passage. He says to the Jews, yeah, it's to us, the principles there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And see what God says here. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Moses, talking to the people, said, these are the commandments, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. God expects us to teach our children, who should teach their children, who should teach their children. Notice what he says next, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that they may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Remember already we've spoken about unfeigned faith? As a mother, and as a father too, but as a mother, our children should be able to look on and say they love the Lord. They love God. That ought to be the testimony, amen. If we're going to influence our children in a way that we're going to see it go to the children's 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 children, we have to love God and it has to be apparent. It's not enough to say I love Jesus, that's okay, but do our lives reflect that I love God with all my heart and mind and soul and strength? And notice what he says next there in verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Mothers, you need to memorise the scriptures, and particularly scriptures regarding family. Amen? You need to do that. Because if you're going to be the godly mother you need to be, then you need to have the word of God hidden in your heart so that you can express that to your children. But notice what else it says, not only are you to have it in your heart, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt, notice what he says there, God says, mothers, and I know fathers too, we're just focusing on mothers, mothers, you need to saturate your children in the word of God. When you're talking with them, when you're sitting in the house, when you're out walking, when you're lying down, when you rise up, whenever it is, morning and night, you need to saturate your children with the word of God, amen? That'll work. Is it any wonder today that families are such a mess when you look at some of these principles here? And thou shalt, notice what it says, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. The word of God is to have great prominence, isn't it? And how are our children going to love the word of God if mum doesn't and dad doesn't too? And it's to be held up there so that they can see it, write it upon the posts of the house and on the gates. And there ought to be some scriptures up around the house, amen. I remember, I think it was Campbell Morgan, I think it was him when he got married, his father came to visit him. And his father walked through the house. And he went through the house and he came out and he said, I've got a problem here. He said, what's that, Dad? He said, nobody would know you're a Christian by walking in the house. He said, why not? You got no verses up. He said, I soon got some up, amen. Why? Because it's supposed to be on the doorpost and on the gates. Why? So that the word of God is constantly there. So the children understand the Word of God is, it's important enough to have it up on the walls, and you don't have to have the whole Bible up there, but there needs to be some up there, amen? That's what's supposed to happen. That's what God says. So, Mum, if you want your children to honour you, then you're going to have to be the godly mother that God wants you to be. You have to be the example. And some of us, we're past that now. You know, we don't have little children, young children, and all sorts of other things that have happened and messed things up. But we're trying to encourage those who have children at the moment. And then those who don't, to encourage those who do, amen, and help them and pray for them that God would help them with these things. Mothers can have a powerful influence. They ought to be like what the Lord Jesus' mother. Have a look in John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, and they've gone to a marriage. And verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto the woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And notice what Mary said next. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Mothers, you ought to be saying, whatever God tells you, you need to do it. Amen. If God's speaking to you, you need to do what he's telling you. And that's the same for all of us. But Mary was wise. She pointed him back to the Lord Jesus. Said, whatever he tells you, just do it. And you and I, we're the same with our children and with everybody, of course. We'll say that to everybody. What about this? What does the Lord want you to do? Has the Lord spoken to you about that? What's the Lord showing you to do? Do what he says, amen? That's how it ought to be. And in that way, we can have a tremendous influence for good and for the glory of God. Talking about influence, there's a couple of things that I wanted just to read out in a moment. One of them was about a missionary called Robert Moffat. Dr. Joseph Parker once said that when Robert Moffat was added to the kingdom of God, a whole continent was added with him. When he got saved, then God later on used him to be a missionary out there in Africa. A mother's kiss did it. He was leaving home and his mother was going with him part of the way. Still a young man. At last she could walk no farther and she stopped. Robert, she said, promise me something. What? Asked the boy. Promise me something, she said again. And he replied, you'll have to tell me before I will promise. It is something you can easily do, she said. Promise your mother. He looked into her face and said, very well, mother, I will do anything you wish. She clasped her hands behind his head, pulled his face down to hers and said, Robert, you are going out into a wicked world. Begin every day with God. Close every day with God. Then she kissed him. And Robert Moffat said it was that kiss that made him a missionary. The influence of a mother. Amazing. Very, very powerful. And that's how God's ordained it, amen? That's how God's ordained it. That's how he wants it to be. That mothers have great influence, and it can be for bad as well, of course, but great influence by God's grace. We see something in Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, And again, these what we're talking about here for mothers applies to all of us. The Proverbs chapter 10, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So what's the point? The point is this. It shows us a little insight into the love and care that mothers have for their children. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Why? Because his mother loves him. Or her, if it's a daughter. And when they're not living right and doing right, it's a great heaviness to the mother. It's a great heaviness. And why? Because mothers love and care for their children. Come to Titus chapter 2, back into the New Testament, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we'll just read starting in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they may be in behaviour as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Notice what it says next, that they may teach the young women to be sober, that's to be serious-minded, to love their husbands, and notice what else, to love their children. Older ladies, you have a responsibility to help the younger ladies to love their children, to love them in a way that's pleasing and honouring to God. And not only that, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. And today, and I know there's a place for ladies in the workforce, but we have neglected this truth across the board pretty much. If we're going to have any children at all, one or two at the most, and then we've got to whack them straight in daycare and back to work again. It's not what the Bible teaches. I don't find daycare then. I'm not saying it's not a place for it, perhaps. But mothers, if we're going to be the kind of mother that are going to be honoured by our children, then we need to be what? Keepers at home. Keepers at home. And I know the pressures today, and I've spoken to enough people to know the pressures today on ladies. You've got to get out there and show them that you're as good as them. You're better than them, really. You need to be the CEO of the bank. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do something else. No, it's not what God's word says. God's word says, keepers at home. What did Theodore Roosevelt say? When the mothers look after the children at home, they're the most powerful people in the nation. Because as they say, the hand of the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And it's a difficult one today because of the pressure to conform to the world's way of doing it. And I was in the bank the other day, and there's one man in that bank. I said, are you the only male in this situation? I said, at one time you'd go in a bank and all the tellers would be men. He said, I'm the only one in about five banks around the place. I don't know, he just maybe said that off the cuff. Why? Because you've got all these ladies there working and doing all these things. Why? Because you need more money. Why? Because we've got to have a five-bedroom house with six theatre rooms in it or something. Whatever. I remember hearing of Brother Sam Davis. He's a great preacher of the Word of God, a godly man. He went to his third church. It was a bigger church, and God was moving him up the scale, as it were. And he preached some messages about the family. And one of the messages he preaches, and you'd think he'd empty the church, he said, now, here's what you need to do. He said, some of you people need to sell your house and get a cheaper one so that your wife doesn't have to go out to work and so she can be a keeper at home. And I forget all he said. You think, man, that'll get rid of them. That church began to boom. It was over 2,000 when I last heard about that, going back a few years ago. What was he doing? He was declaring what the Bible declares. Yeah, but what about extra money? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Paul said to Timothy, having food and raiment or clothing, let us be therewith content. But we live in a day and age where people aren't content, are they? Just not content. And sadly, a lot of Christians are the same. Mothers, you need to be mothers. And the best way to be a mother is to be at home, amen? Yeah, but they drive me crazy. Well, get someone to babysit for you, drop them off at whatever. I need some time, sure. And we'll deal with husbands later, but maybe next week. But I trust you get the idea. You know, mothers love and care for their children. Just a couple of things I'll read, a couple of stories. One of them is this, and this is kind of a fictional story, but it's an interesting principle. It is said that an angel strolled out of heaven one beautiful day and found his way to this old world. He roamed through field and city, beholding the varied scenes of nature and art, and just at sunset he plumed his golden wings and said, "I must return to the world of light. Shall I not take with me some mementos of my visit here? How beautiful and fragrant those flowers are. I'll pluck of them a choice bouquet." Passing a country home where he saw through the open door a rosy little crib into a mother's face, he said, "The smile of that baby is prettier than these roses. I'll take that too." Just then he looked beyond the cradle and saw a devout mother pouring out her love like the gush of a perpetual fountain as she stopped to kiss goodnight to her precious baby. "Oh," said he, "the prettiest thing I've seen in all the world. I'll take that too." With these three treasures, he winged his way toward the pearly gates. But just before entering, he decided to examine his mementos, and to his astonishment, the flowers had withered until they were no longer things of beauty. The baby's smile had changed into a frown, but the mother's love retained all its pristine beauty and fragrance. He threw aside the withered roses and the departed smile, and passing through the gates was welcomed by the hosts of heaven that gathered about him to see what he had. "Here," said he, "is the only thing I found on earth that would retain its fragrance and beauty all the way to heaven." He said, "The sweetest thing in all the world is a mother's love." Amen. Amen. I don't think we appreciate it how much our mothers love us. I'm sure I don't. My mother's no longer here, of course, but I've reflected a little bit about that. But we don't appreciate it the way we ought to sometimes. Why? Probably because we don't honour our mothers the way we ought to. There was another story about a lady, and again, it just highlights this about a mother's love and care. An old woman tripped and fell from the top of a stone stairway in Boston as she was coming out of the police station. They called the patrol and carried her to the hospital, and the doctor examining her said to the nurse, "She'll not live more than a day." When the nurse had won her confidence, the old woman said, "I've travelled from California, stopping at every city of importance between San Francisco and Boston, visiting two places always, the police station and the hospital." She said, "My boy went away from me and did not tell me where he's going. So I've sold all my property and made this journey to seek him out. Someday he may come into this hospital. If he does, tell him that there were two who never gave him up." When the night came and the doctor standing beside her said, "It's now but a question of a few minutes." The nurse bent over her to say, "Tell me the names of the two, and I'll tell your son if I see him." And with trembling lips and eyes overflowing with tears, she said, "Tell him that the two were God and his mother." And she was gone. The love of a mother for her children. It's amazing, isn't it? It's not quite the love that God has for us. That is really amazing. But the love of a mother for a child. For that reason alone, we ought to honour mothers. Amen. We ought to honour them. It's a very high calling, ladies. We understand that. And today it's a very difficult calling in the sense of the opposition that comes from the world and all around us. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, you can be the mother that God wants you to be. And husbands, we need to understand that. Our wives need the encouragement to be the mothers they ought to be. And again, I know some of us, we're not in that position. And it makes it difficult. We've got some bad memories and it's very, very difficult in that sense. Some scars, some hurts, all that. But let's, by the grace of God, do what we can to honour those who are still mothers and help them to be the mothers that God would have them be, to be the example to the world that they need to be. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special time this morning we've had to gather together once again. Father, we thank you for the institution of the family, which, well, you started right back there in creation. And Lord, it certainly had its ups and downs over the centuries, and yet today there are still families that are living a way that are honouring and pleasing to you. But as we said, Lord, in our land today, things are very, very different to what they used to be. The pressures that are here in our world today. But Lord, none of them are too great that we can't handle by your grace. Lord, if we'll just stay in your word and walk with you, and Lord, I pray for those today here, firstly, who are mothers and who have children, would they be young or old? Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for their sacrifices. Thank you for their love and care and all of that, Lord. May you bless them today. Pray for the children that they would honour their mother today. Lord, that should be every day, but particularly today, perhaps, Lord, that there'd be that honour given to their mothers. And Father, for those of us who our background is, we're nowhere near that. It's wreckage and disaster in a sense. Lord, help us to be an encouragement and exhortation so that others don't have to go through what we've been through. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and bless you. In our Lord Jesus' name, amen.